feel like I'm playing a computer game, just waiting for the end of level boss to appear. Well, just before we start, let's have a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to see Jesus and follow him. Amen. Well, I might need your help this morning as we begin, because I wonder if you recognize any of these people. Let's have the first one up. Can anyone help me out with this guy? Just shout it out if you know. Who's this guy? Yeah, well done, well done. What about this next word? There's a bit of a clue. He's carrying a squash racket. No, tennis, sorry. I'm biased. Roger Federer indeed, yeah. Grand Slam winner. And lastly, we have the Queen. She's had a tough week, hasn't she? Well, I wonder if you were to see any of these people, how would you react? How would you react? I think if we were to see a celebrity, a world-famous celebrity like that, we'd be very excited, wouldn't we? And we might want to point out that we'd seen that person. And we'd be excited to say to others, hey, look, I saw the Queen today, or I saw Prince William, or I saw the world-famous squash player Roger Federer. We see, that's exactly what happened in the Gospels. And we're in the Gospel of John here. You might want to follow along. It's on page 1063. You see, John the Baptist noticed Jesus. And he knew who Jesus was. And he couldn't wait to tell others about him. Listen in and follow along. The next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Page 1063, carrying on. "This is he about which I said, after me, someone's coming who ranks before me, because he was before me. I did not know him, but for this reason I came baptizing with water." And John goes on to say, "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I've seen and bear witness that this is the Son of God," someone very important. And so John wanted others to know who Jesus was. And he explained, as we saw in the sort of computer game reading, that he had seen the Holy Spirit with Jesus. That was the figure of the dove coming down. And he wanted to tell people that because, do you know, by saying that he'd seen the Holy Spirit on Jesus, it meant that all the claims were true. John had seen Jesus, and he couldn't keep it to himself, just like we couldn't keep it to ourselves if we saw the Queen or Prince William or someone like that. But you know, John also shared with his own disciples who Jesus was. He didn't keep his disciples to himself and hide Jesus away because he wanted to keep his followers following him. No, he was happy to share Jesus with his own followers. You know, sometimes we forget that John the Baptist had his own followers, but he was willing to let them go in favor of a more important person to follow. The most important person in the world. You see, John told his friends about Jesus, and they were excited enough to follow him. They could see how excited their leader John was, and so they wanted to follow Jesus too. Look down again in our passage. We see there it says, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, again those words, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We'll think about that in a minute, what that means, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." Come and you will see. That's the invitation Jesus gives. Come and follow me. Come and see. And what did they do after their friend John pointed out who Jesus was. They followed after him. They were excited. You know when you see a crowd in the streets and you wonder what's going on, and then you see them walking along, they're following, something's interesting. Is someone performing on the street? Has someone seen a celebrity? Well, it was like that here. They were excited to follow Jesus. They even, as we see, they wanted to spend the night and hear more from him. They were very quick to follow him. But you know, our story doesn't end there. It goes on. You say they were so excited to find this person, Jesus, the Messiah, the one God had promised. But it wasn't just enough for them to know about him. They wanted others to know about him as well. In fact, we see that one of them went straight to his brother to share the good news. I wonder if you've ever seen one of these things. Do you know what this is called? It's called a megaphone. Now, it looks like this one's a bit of an old-fashioned one, a bit like the hat that chap's wearing. But these days we have ones with batteries, and they're very loud, so the message can be heard by everyone. And we see that one of the disciples, he wanted to share it with his brother. And these were the very first people to find out about Jesus and the first people to follow him. This is where the church began. This is where it was beginning. People following Jesus. And you know, they shared him with others. They didn't keep him to themselves because they were too excited. And when something great happens, we want to share that with others, don't we? We want to talk about it. We want to make an announcement. We have newspapers these days, or even things on our phones. But you know, years ago, they used to have people in the town called town criers. And they used to stand on the streets and declare the latest news, the big announcements. I don't know who might be in your thoughts, who would be fitting for that role in the congregation. Someone with a nice booming voice, standing on the street, shouting out news. But that's how it was. They wanted to share this news. Look down again. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We found the Messiah. We found Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Right at the start of John's gospel, we see people beginning to follow Jesus. We see they're excited about following him. But what can we learn from this 2,000 years later? Well, our job, if we're following Christ, is to share the love of God with each other, but also with the world. Our goal as children of God is to tell others about him. There's such a movement these days on social media, always with hashtags about life goals. There's all sorts of little phrases, always a little further, moving on. People put hashtags, don't they, before their photos, life goals. But a lot of those life goals are really just about them. But God gives us a really important life goal. Not one that's so much about us, but it involves us. And God wants us to join in that goal, which is to share Jesus with others, to make more disciples. In fact, Jesus told us directly to do that. And that's something the Bible calls the Great Commission. The Great Command, if you like. "Go, therefore," Jesus says, "and make disciples of all nations." So we should be joining, just as we saw at this start of John's Gospel. We should want to share Jesus with others too. Well, as I said, we're going to think in a minute about that phrase, Lamb of God, and what that means. Because it's very important to help us understand what it is that we're to share with people. But before that, we're going to sing again. So I'll see you in a minute. So we're thinking about what it is to share Jesus. And we're going to look at it in a little bit more detail now. Because we often hear how important it is to share things, don't we? Maybe we hear assemblies about that in schools, about sharing things, whether our possessions or time. But do we know what it means to share Jesus? Well, as we thought about earlier, I wonder who you can help telling people about if you met them. Maybe you can think of someone straight away who you really think, oh, I couldn't keep that to myself. Maybe they're a world famous actor, musician, or sportsman. There's Ronaldo. Maybe there's some fans, Beyonce. I wonder who it is for you who, if you saw, you just couldn't keep it to yourself. And of course, we saw that is what happened when John the Baptist finally saw Jesus. You see, he was one of the first people to actually realize who Jesus was and how important Jesus was. And he was so excited, as we've seen. He pointed Jesus to others. He showed them who Jesus was. He pointed out, look, follow this guy. And in life, we're always being encouraged to follow people, aren't we? Follow them. And even if we don't make a big thing of it, we know inside we're kind of following people. We look for role models. And John says, no, follow him. This is the Lamb of God. People run after him, don't they? They ran after him, and when they met him and understood who he was, they gave their lives to him and wanted to tell others about him too. It was a life-changing encounter. And we should be eager to tell people this good news about Jesus too. I mean, one of the reasons why sometimes we might not be that eager to share Jesus is because we don't really understand what he's done for us. Or we've forgotten. But I mean, let's think about it. I mean, knowing God died for you is amazing, isn't it? Think about it. This beautiful world, although it's a frosty morning, it's an amazing sky, this incredible creation. The creation we heard about last week in Genesis 1, the whole universe, was made by God. And he came to live as a person. He gave up his life, all his glory, so that we could come into his family, so that we could become his children. Isn't that mind-blowing? I wonder if you know anyone who's ever given up everything for you. And once we understand that, it should give us so much joy and hope. So much that we can't help but keep it in. We should be bubbling over, wanting to share Jesus with others. Because we want others to know that same joy and love of God. There's lots of ways we can do that. Of course, it really is best to start by living in a way and speaking in a way that shows Jesus in our lives, doesn't it? I don't know if any of you still have a bracelet from the mid-late 90s, back in the Delirious era and the Jesus Freaks era. Toby Mac, What Would Jesus Do? WWJD. Back then they made them with cotton and they all got thread-borne and mine faded. I think I might have seen one on a certain person who occasionally operates the sound desk. But yeah, they're great, aren't they? They remind you, what would Jesus do? And that's a great start. That's a great start, isn't it, to live a Christian life amongst our friends and family. But at some point, we need to talk about Jesus, don't we? We need to do what John the Baptist did, which is say, look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We need to tell people using actual words about Jesus. And you know, sometimes I think we think that it's okay to just quietly live a Christian life. But that's a great start, but we do ultimately need to talk about Jesus. And that's quite a hard part sometimes, because we're not quite sure what to say. But the Apostle Paul says that, look, how are people going to hear without someone actually speaking to them? We need to talk about Jesus. It's good to live the Christian life. That's like a foundation, if you like. That's the soil. And then we put the seed in. And the seed is telling people, look, Jesus is real. The Lamb of God has come. And that's what we need to tell people about Jesus, isn't it? Just like John the Baptist, we need to tell them that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Not just an interesting historical figure. Not just an amazing miracle worker, although that is amazing. Not just someone who taught people how to live, although that is great. No, we need to tell people why Jesus really came. and he came as God's Lamb. What does that mean? That Jesus was the Lamb of God? Well, let's just really quickly think about that, because otherwise the words Lamb of God won't really mean anything to us. Well, in the Old Testament, God required his people to provide a lamb as a sacrifice for their sin, for all the wrong things they'd said and done. You see, no amount of trying to live God's way by God's law was ever enough to take away God's anger at sin. Quite simply, God's people just failed to live up to God's standard. And so they were in trouble with God. But God loved them, so he provided a way for them to be forgiven. And that's something we learned last year in Hebrews. And the message there was very clear, wasn't it? That God needs a sacrifice for sin. That's why the people in the Old Testament had to provide this lamb. This lamb was a sacrifice. And the blood of that lamb took away God's anger and God's judgment at his people's sin, so that they could have peace with God again. But I mean, a lamb doesn't take away the sin of the world, does it? And that's the whole point. It was just a picture. It was like a giant signpost pointing to the Lamb of God, the final lamb, the ultimate lamb. Indeed, the Lamb of God, as John says, who takes away the sin of the world. That's what Jesus came to do. To take away the sin of the world. Your sin and mine. All the ways in which we haven't lived rightly before God. Isn't that wonderful? We live in this New Testament era, don't we? We're not in the Old Testament anymore. And isn't it great that we don't have to do any more sacrifices before God? Because God has provided his own sacrifice. He's provided his own lamb, Jesus, God's own son. And because of Jesus, because of the Lamb of God, if we're walking in faith with Jesus, with him as our sacrificial lamb, then God says all our sins are forgiven. My anger and judgment has passed from you onto the Lamb. Isn't that wonderful? That we can have that peace with God. So it would be very silly and really quite rude to God to say, do you know what, God? I know you've provided your very own lamb, but no thanks. You know, that means we're going to have to put it all on ourselves. We're trusting in ourselves to deal with God's anger at our sin. No, it's right that we should come to the Lamb of God. You see, John the Baptist knew about these spiritual realities, and he was overjoyed when he finally saw the long-promised Lamb of God, an end to all the sacrifices, the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God, Jesus, the one who would die as the final sacrifice and win for his people that eternal life and eternal peace with God in heaven. So let's be those who turn to God and receive his Lamb, receive Jesus. And when we've received him, let's tell others about Jesus and how amazing he is. Let's share him and not keep him to ourselves. Let's invite others, as Christ did, to come and see. There's loads of ways we can do that. Now, the Alpha course has been running for a week, but it's probably not too late to sign up. It's tomorrow night. It's a great way to come and see. Maybe today you might want to come and see, or you might have a friend who might want to come and see. Or some of you might remember the word one-to-one. That's a great way to tell people about Jesus. Lots of ways we can do that. We can even just talk about our faith, but we need to keep it all in prayer. And don't worry if you think, I don't really know what to say. Because God's with us, even if we only have small things to say. And that's exactly how the church began. So be encouraged. Your efforts count. Because the church began by one individual telling another, and then another, and another, of the wonderful Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.